It's a very strange thing, even a paradox, the way this parsha, this morning's reading from the Torah, begins. First of all, as he's often commented on, it begins with the death of Sarah, and yet is called the life of Sarah, Chaye Sarah. Second, it begins with the first inkling of the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, you are going to inherit this land, and yet the first thing that he buys is a funeral plot. Because that's what Ma'arat HaMachpelah is, after all. It's a place to bury his wife, where he will be buried, where Isaac will be buried, where Rivka will be buried. It is essentially a family plot. And that's where the first smidgen, the first bit, the first small installment on God's perpetual promise comes to be. Until now, after all, Abraham hasn't owned any land in Israel, and now he does, and it's just a place to bury his wife. But from this paradox, we can conclude a lesson that is important, although it is only the beginning of what I think we are supposed to learn. The lesson here is that the promise to Abraham, which is a this-worldly promise, it is supposed to be realized on earth. You will inherit the land. You will have descendants. That promise can be realized only by the loss of something in this world. That is, by the loss of Sarah. It's only when Abraham loses that the promise begins to be fulfilled. And this is a theme, the theme of the way in which death turns into this worldly life that we're very familiar with in the Jewish world. Every Yizkor, we think about how by carrying on the memory, the deeds, the ideals of the person who has died, we give them an eternal life in this world. Zaro b'chayim afu b'chayim, says the Talmud. As long as this person's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are alive, they too are alive. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, as you continue on in the Parsha, you get that realization of the promise of descendants, because at the end of the Parsha, Isaac gets married. But even though many Jews stop there, it's not enough. Because we all know, whether we embrace the idea or not, we all know that Judaism has more to say about the structure of the world than just this is the structure of this world. Remember that as far as we're concerned, there is a God who organizes the invisible, the intangible order of things. And somehow, when you come face to face with a death, it seems something cosmic, something that carries us beyond our everyday thoughts, something that is more than just, oh, this person was here today and now they're gone tomorrow. And so you might be inclined to think that Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the first grave of the Jewish people, which is what it is, the cave of the Avot and Imahot, of our fathers and mothers, that that must represent more than just the place that Abraham was lucky enough to purchase to bury Sarah. And if you look at the Midrash, the rabbinic teachings about Ma'arat HaMachpelah, you find at least two teachings that are truly astonishing. The first is that according to the Midrash, the announcement of the Messiah will take place at Ma'arat HaMachpelah. At the place where our ancestors are buried, redemption will come. But even more powerful and even more dramatic and direct is the Midrash that the entrance to Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the entrance to the cave of burial, is the entrance to the Garden of Eden. That through that cave is the Garden of Eternity. Now, what does that mean? Why would the rabbis fix on that place to give us a portal to forever? I think that it has to do with the deep idea that all redemption in this world, all redemption ultimately comes out of darkness and pain and loss and brokenness. We see it again and again. How is it that Yitzhak becomes the second father of the Jewish people? It is only after the Akedah, only after the shattering experience of being carried up to the mountain to be sacrificed by his own father. How is it that the Jewish people enter the land of Israel? It is only after the recurrent sins and punishments and pain and wandering of the desert. It is in loss as well as in learning that we grow. And it takes Ma'arat HaMachpelah to get to Eden. If you think to yourself, reading the Bible, why is it that Adam and Eve so easily gave up the Garden of Eden? I mean, remember the story. God said, you can do anything you want. Here is paradise. Just don't do this one thing. Not 5 minutes go by before that's what they do. Because they can't value the garden since they've never lost anything. And having never lost, they have no idea of what it is to yearn and to seek redemption and to want more, because everything has always been beautiful and wonderful for them. We see this process in children. As children gradually come to see that things break, that they disappear, that there is loss, they attach a different value to what they have. Especially when they discover that things are lost that can never be replaced. We do the same. We ignore people, dismiss them, and then when they are gone, we regret. Ma'arat HaMachpelah is in some ways the perfect symbol for what Judaism teaches us about the world. That there is no redemption without brokenness, and paradoxically, there is no real life without death. Because without loss, we would treasure nothing. Because nothing would need to be treasured. And so, you see that when Sarah dies, according to the Midrash, the light that was always on in the tent of Abraham suddenly went out. And you think to yourself, why hasn't the Midrash mentioned this light before? And the answer is, because it was always on, so there was no need. It's only when it goes out that you realize how terrifying is the darkness. And Rivka's coming in and comforting Isaac for the loss of his mother and making the light shine again is exactly the process that happens in a successful life. Not a life absent darkness, but a life that continually renews the light. There is a story in the Talmud about someone who is searching for the Messiah. And he's told that the Messiah is by the gate of the city, binding wounds. In other words, healing what has been torn asunder. That's the story of Ma'arat HaMachpelah. It's a place of loss from which comes life. A place of darkness that teaches light. As you could tell from the past several months, although elections sometimes feel like they go on for years, and in some sense they do, there is a great deal in this world that we heard from everybody who spoke seriously about the world. In every way, there is a great deal that is darkness. And it is easy to look at the darkness in the world and just despair. But that's not the lesson of the Parsha. There has to be, it's part of God's design, pain, suffering, darkness, and even death. Abraham, who was, after all, spared the death of Isaac, now confronts the death of Sarah. And for the first time in the Torah, for the first time, someone weeps over a person whom they have lost. We know that Abraham weeps, but as soon as he is done weeping, he finds a wife for Isaac. And the light is on again. Both in our history and in the world, there is pain and there is suffering and there is plenty over which to cry. But remember, Abraham didn't weep forever. Shortly afterwards, he found somebody who could ignite the light. That is our task, to move through Machpelah and to find redemption. Shabbat Shalom.